The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, October 22nd, 2018. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuadita Sun. I'm sitting in for Bill, who is just a little bit under the weather after last week's wonderful vacation on the Central Oregon coast. He's shooting to be back on Wednesday. So, Bill, if you're listening, get better. We need you. The show airs live Monday through Friday, noon to 1 p.m. on KVOI 1030 a.m. You can live stream at buckmastershow.com or kvoi.com, and you're going to find archives of all the past shows at buckmastershow.com. We start off the week talking to our experts during the Monday political face-off. Then after the break at 12:30, we're going to be talking to Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich, and later we'll welcome Toni Helen. She is the clerk of Superior Court in Pima County. You are always welcome to join the conversation by calling the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Let's jump into our Monday political face-off. We're joined by political commentators Dr. Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. The Monday political face-off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe's has everything: custom frames, mirrors, art, picture framing, hanging services and systems. They do it right over there. That's Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course you can find them on Facebook. Don and Bruce, welcome.
Thank you, Dan. Good to see you.
Good to have you. We had this incredibly wet Sunday out in Sahuadita, a surprise. Got a hailstorm and then another hailstorm, and then it just kept raining and raining and raining. So I was out all afternoon covering that. It was not exactly a relaxing weekend, but it was certainly welcome wet, because we certainly need that.
My plants are the happiest they've been in 2 or 3 years, and I'm happy as a gardener. I'm happy as a real estate investor and property manager. We hate rain, but it's been nice to have a little bit of diversity and breaking up the hot weather.
It was good. We live in a neighborhood that is sloped, and so the water was rushing by, and it was brown. And I told my wife, "There goes everybody's front yards, right down to the wash, and the wash behind our house running very, very heavy. It was quite something." And here we have now print media. We have kind of leveled the playing field with the TV people, because we can go live on Facebook or YouTube and put it out there as it's happening to people. And so I was out all afternoon doing some of that. You can find that on the Sahuadita Sun Facebook page.
And, you know, that's a cool thing.
It is.
I'll bet you as things go along, that's going to be a significantly greater importance to what you guys do, particularly in small community kind of publications such as the one you have.
Yeah, and
that's
very
awesome.
It's very easy to do. You know what? You go out with your phone and you can instantly do whatever you want. And actually, we really used this during the teacher walkout, because there were lots of protests, and you get someone who can string a couple sentences together, put them on live. That's the scary part, because it's all live. If you drop your camera, or you know, or don't have it aimed the right way, or something,
or you say something,
yeah, right. And and I've done all of the above.
But so. it's more than that, which is exciting as someone who also loves print media. You've got Facebook, but you also have Twitter. You've got other ways to immediately connect, which,
exactly,
as you say, keeps that great. You still have, I believe, in most print media, objective reporting, which is becoming, unfortunately, more of a rarity, but it's terrific. However, I'm thinking, when I read all this stuff, are you guys now having to work 24/7?
Well, you know, we like to think that we always were doing that, but before, when the press would roll, you just kind of take a breather, because you know you can't do anything again until the next time the press rolls. But now, it is constant. And so this is a good thing, particularly for a small community like ours. And you said something very interesting, because lots of people have those cameras and they're putting video out there, but they're also putting out information that hasn't been verified.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
Because, you know, you can be at one house and it's like everything's fallen down and the rain's coming through the roof and, you know, the world's about to end. And in the next house over, it's snuggy, warm, and no problems. But if you present that picture, then people start panicking. So we actually, even when we're doing the live stuff, we're calling people, we're verifying information and getting it out. So I think in that way the news media are still relied upon to actually be the ones who have access to those who know the answers.
Yeah, there was a time in the olden days when there would be first edition, second edition, third edition newspapers.
Oh, yes.
But really with online reporting today, you know, a report that's, let's say, posted at 10 o'clock on a Thursday night might have two or three updates, kind of a third edition
Absolutely.
Of the newspaper. You know, by the time somebody reads it in the morning, with greater accuracy, more clarity, a little bit more, you know, general information, because more information is available by that time.
Right. And, you know, there's always that push, do you want to be first or do you want to be accurate? And this has kind of really kind of put an edge on that, because it's easy to be first now, but being accurate takes more time. But what do you do when 10 other news outlets are reporting on something and you're still verifying your facts? Well, you should still verify your facts is what the answer to that is. So there's a lot of new ways of looking at things and a lot of challenges and ethical questions and standards. So we're going to be faced with that.
Well, it's nice to know in a small setting like yours that the guy making the report is actually somebody that you know and you've seen, and not some Russia guy sitting, you know,
that happened?
Making the whole damn thing up.
That's right. We're not here today with a Dan Shearer bot.
I have been accused of making stuff up, but it's just part and parcel of what we do. So we're going to take a look. We do have an election coming up here on November 6th. We're way past the primary. The early ballots were sent out last week, and I checked the Pima County returns, and you can do that too, by the way, pima.gov. You can get in there and see how many early ballots have come in. And as of Friday, 51,000 roughly had been returned to Pima County. Now, to give that some perspective, during the last midterm election in 2014, there were a total of 271,000 ballots cast in Pima County, with just over 200,000 of them being early ballots. So right now, we're at about 25% of early ballots returned compared to 2014.
I'm a little surprised, because I get the daily runs on that as well. And I'm a little surprised at where those totals are, because I would have figured if there was super intensity in this election, we might have seen a lot more results come in sooner than this.
Oh, really? You think it's a little bit behind then, as would be you'd be
well,
saying?
Well, I think in terms of the anticipation that was sort of being hyped.
Sure.
I don't quite see as much of that anticipation manifesting itself in actual return ballots.
Historically, the second week, which would be what we're in now, tends to bring in more.
Yeah. Exactly, and that's the number I'll be looking at. But we're already ahead of 2014, which was, in fact, a record low for turnout.
Right, and the overall turnout, by the way, for Pima County, let me emphasize that, was about 55% in 2014. So we got a lot of talk going on, a lot of flyers, radio, TV, everything going on. And it's very interesting to see how some of this is, frankly, being spun, even in some news reports, as to being good news for the Democrats or good news for the Republicans. But it's out there, and you can get onto that website and see those returns coming in yourself. They update it several times a day. So we're going to move on to the CD2 race. Leah Marquez Peterson. Bruce, does she have a prayer? The National Republican Congressional Committee pulled ads last week. I think it surprised everybody, particularly her. What does it mean when they pull ads, and how does this bode for her?
Well, I think in her case, Dan and Don, it was really more of a switch, because the RNC is still heavily supporting her candidacy, and the NRCC is now off deploying cash into other elections around the country. The amount of fundraising that's going on, continuing for her through the RNC, as well as the support given by the RNC, is probably somewhat less than what it would have been had NRCC still been involved, but still at a very high level. And nobody's given up. You know, we got, 14 days left until the election. There's plenty of stuff that can happen. You know, the most interesting thing with this caravan, and we're going to be kind of ground central, you know, here in southern Arizona as well as Texas, regarding what happens. And on the way here, I was listening to an expert on immigration say that if the president remains firm, he thinks that is going to drive positive response, to both Republicans as well as independents to these congressional elections. If he doesn't, that could be a disaster for everybody.
Okay, I want to visit the caravan after.
Yeah, yeah, I didn't mean to get ahead of ourselves.
Nice try at switching it as quickly as possible.
What do you think as far as the Republicans pulling that TV money for Leah Marcus Peterson?
Well, you know, in many races, particularly looking back 4 years, it was the Democrats who said, well, the money doesn't matter how much each candidate raises, because Democrats usually are able to raise less and bring in much less outside money, including dark money and all of that. This time, the reverse is the case. So Democrats can't be hypocritical, but by the same token, Ann Kirkpatrick has far outraised Leah Marquez Peterson. One of the differences, a lot of that money is coming from individual donations, which reflects, I think, the level of enthusiasm on the part of Democrats in CD2. That's reflected by the turnouts at many of the events. It's also reflected by the increase in Democratic registrations versus Republicans. So it has become, in terms of numbers, even a slightly stronger Democratic advantage than previously. So I think those combination of factors really do not bode well for Leah Marquez Peterson and bode very well for Ann Kirkpatrick.
And, you know, Don, to that point, Martha was a much more energetic campaigner than Leah is, and somebody that we had seen in other elections previously. And that does come into play quite a bit here. We have an inexperienced candidate, far more laid back. And Ann Kirkpatrick, even though I still think she's sort of a carpetbagger here in running in CD2, she is a name that Arizonans know. And certainly Pima County Democrats know who she is because they follow Democrat politics.
Okay, and we're going to revisit that part about energy on the part of Leah Marcus Peterson. I think it's a great point. But right now we are going to take a quick break. Remember, the Political Face-Off is brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And don't forget, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle Mona's, is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's the place for European baked goods, breads, pastries, cakes, brownies. Owner Steve and Sherry are open for lunch right now, so get on over there. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We'll be right back.
In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. The Buckmaster Show features Arizona newsmakers and more than two dozen Buckmaster Show contributors. Everything from foreign affairs to the arts is on the table and open for discussion and your calls from one end of Southern Arizona to the other. The Buckmaster Show, weekdays live during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice.
Welcome back to the Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. That's moesgallery.com, and of course, you can find them on Facebook. I'm Dan Shearer, editor of the Green Valley News and Sawatita Sun, sitting in for Bill. And you've caught us in the middle of the Monday Political Face-Off with Dr. Don Jorgensen and Bruce Ash. Bruce, I want to go back and revisit a comment you made just before the break. You were talking about candidates and energy, and just in a more of a 30,000 view of that topic, what do you mean by energy, and do we have it in the CD2 race with Ann Kirkpatrick and Leah Marcus Peterson?
Well, I don't think either of the candidates are what I would call outstanding personalities. There's been a certain fatigue. We have spent so much time, and maybe this is where I was coming at from the beginning, Dan. There's been so much talk about U.S. Senate and governor. I think that there's kind of voter fatigue and donor fatigue, all through Republican ranks anyway. And Don might be able to speak more specifically on the Democrat side. But there just didn't seem to be a whole lot of intensity about this. And, you know, the feeling was that Martha was a very difficult person to replace from a Republican standpoint.
Well, I think from the Republican standpoint, that's true. And looking at energy and what Ann Kirkpatrick has done, we have to think about that. How do we see that energy? And our first thought goes to TV ads. So those are ads. So it's about how the candidate comes across, when they come across, and they're not attack ads from the other side, whichever side. The other, then, is what you're seeing in the community. And the energy that has been demonstrated on the Democratic side really comes out of the volunteers and the waves that every day, let alone weekends, are knocking on doors and making calls. Then you also see the candidate in public at many events, pretty much anywhere and everywhere. And again, there's evidence of that, as we were talking earlier about social media. There's evidence of that everywhere. And I think that is where you see a difference, even though Bruce doesn't believe Ann Kirkpatrick is the most exciting person, and that's fine. She is one of the most energetic in terms of being everywhere, being out in the community, getting to know people, talking about the issues publicly, married to the number of volunteers that are out there. Yes, but as we were talking at the break, a campaign is very different.
Yeah, it is.
And that's where I think Ann's experience and enthusiasm shows through, and for a novice like Marquez Peterson, she really hasn't captured that.
Well, and unfortunately, Leah hasn't been able to communicate that she would be a very effective congresswoman. I don't think there's anybody that questions that she would serve the community well. She's kind of, you know, right in the middle of things. She's not too far to the right. She's not too far to the left.
Well, she has tied herself to Trump on many, many issues, so I don't think you can say that.
All right, well, you can say that. I'm telling you from the standpoint of you know, following her from a Republican standpoint, she really hasn't tied herself that closely to the president.
Don, you had talked earlier about individual donations and that they are up as far as the Democrats go. Is that accurate?
Very much.
Okay, and yeah. Is there any way to determine whether a lot of those are first-time donors to elections? Are we are we dragging in or drawing in people who are kind of new to this whole game because it's a midterm? President Trump, frankly, has definitely raised interest. Are we seeing new blood involved in politics?
I think it's fair to assume that just because of the numbers. When you look at the campaigns from in previous years to today, just the volume of donations at the lower levels, $25 donations, $50 donations. There are many more of those in aggregate looking at the campaigns like Kyrsten Sinema's campaign and Kirkpatrick's as we were talking about. You see those numbers from individual donations, which are higher than previously. The money coming from outside is a little bit higher on the Democratic side than in previous elections, but not significantly so. So I think you can assume realistically that there is an increase, and that's the reaction to Trump, because this isn't part of referendum on the president, as all midterms are. And it is, again, the additional avenue other than casting one vote for displaying support for the candidate and the policies on the left.
So, Bruce, it means something when people attach money to their support. Are we seeing an uptick in GOP donors?
You must not be reading the newspaper. RNC collected $26.2 million last month in gifts, almost all of it small donor gifts. The president, and the RNC in this cycle is now over $200 million. That's almost double the highest amount that the RNC had ever raised in a similar presidential or a midterm. And further, during all the same period of time, the president has raised over $105 million toward his 2020 reelection. A friend of mine who says, well, I don't know if Trump's going to run for reelection. Trust me, he's running for reelection.
He'll have to be.
He loves every second of what he's doing, and they're going to have a ton of money going into that election.
He'll have to be dragged out of office kicking and screaming no matter which way it goes. But in partial agreement with Bruce's point, yes, the Republican numbers are up. The Democrat numbers are up even higher. But overall, this year's election has broken records for fundraising and donations and the amount spent on national elections. I believe it's first time it's gone over $1 billion.
So I guess total. There's one thing that everybody can credit President Trump for, and that is there's a heightened interest in politics.
Intensity. Yeah,
absolutely.
Sure, absolutely. We're going to go to the Buckmaster Show live line, and we have Greg on the line from Tucson. Greg, you there?
And Dan, I'm glad you brought that up because it's exciting for the populace, especially those of us who are fond of Donald Trump, because I think it does spark an interest in folks who are thinking of getting into government. I remember living in Minnesota at the time that Jesse Ventura ran and was successful in running for governor because he stood out from the other two who were sort of like lifetime candidates for office, and here was Jesse willing to do things for the people. But I have a question about this current campaign where I see what I would call slime being thrown at Kyrsten Sinema. And, of course, the announcement at the end of the spot is that it's not coming from Martha McSally. But if she felt like there were too many inaccuracies and too much filth, could she stop those ads from running in terms of what they're alleging about the cinema?
Bruce, let's go ahead and have you answer that. And technically, no, she's not allowed to collaborate with these PACs, correct?
Yeah, that the simple answer is that any reply from the candidate, and this has certainly come up plenty of times before, Greg, any effort to halt those ads is considered coordination and technically a violation of FEC regulations.
However, to his point, if she were to make it clear, Don, that she or Martha McSally, someone did not want this stuff to happen, it would end, wouldn't it?
Absolutely. All she'd have to do is come out, not even with a press conference, although that would be great for you. She'd come out on Twitter. She could make a statement from the campaign denouncing that ad. She hasn't done that. In fact, in many cases, she has participated in these smear campaigns against
Well, neither of them has. Cinema. Let's be fair here. I mean, there's an awful lot of mud being thrown out there, and I don't see anybody coming out and saying, gosh, let's stop it.
No, but again, you have a case here where McSally actually accused Kyrsten Sinema of treason. Well, I mean, that's outrageous.
Well,
she actually
said those things, Don. That's the difference.
No, she didn't say those things. It was the reporter talking to her saying it, and she said whatever and moved on.
You know what? She had an
point.
Opportunity to back off of this in her Arizona Republic interview, and she refused to do it.
Now,
she had a Ralph Cramden moment, and she didn't know what to say.
She's focusing on the issues. That's the difference.
Right.
And I want to be clear here, because she actually did not accuse Kyrsten Sinema of treason. She accused her of saying that it would be okay if somebody went and fought for the Taliban. So she's saying, you know, other people doing it. So Martha wasn't saying you are guilty of it, but rather guilty of saying that it would be okay if someone went and did that. And the key difference is that one is accusing someone of committing a crime, and Martha McSally actually did not do that.
But it starts with the big lie, and that's what gets out.
It's
in the
not
media,
a lie,
is that,
and this is her Jane Fonda moment.
It is not. She did not say that. It was the reporter that said, "What if he went?" And she essentially said whatever and moved on to the issue.
She clearly was trying to just kind of brush off what was really a quirky, awkward question.
Exactly.
There's no doubt about it. But she also has to own those words where she was saying, "I don't care if you go do that." So, and quite honestly, that's startling.
Well, and you're in the middle of a campaign, you're focusing on your issues, and it's a throwaway comment. It wasn't commenting on the issue of the war or on anything like that. It's nonsense. And McSally knows it's nonsense, and she threw it out of desperation at the end of a horrible debate.
Her comment about how stay-at-home wives are leeches on their husbands. I mean, you know, it's one thing after another. And I think this goes to speak that she doesn't represent the views and values of Arizonans, and it's going to pay off.
She has been representing Arizonans for years and doing a great job of it. She has voted for the USA Act. She has supported the Disclosure Act.
Obamacare, open borders.
Yes, health care for all Americans. Things. How horrible.
Okay, I hate to end it right in the middle of this, but that is going to wrap up the Monday Political Face-Off. My thanks to Don and Bruce. Great conversation.
Thanks
it
for
always
filling
is.
In. You did a great job.
Yep. Hope you two have a great week. Moe's Gallery Fine Framing is proud to present the Political Face-Off. Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com, and you can find them on Facebook. When we return, we are going to be joined by State Attorney General Mark Brnovich. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for Bill. This portion of the show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do there. In fact, I just had a friend who was over there. He and his wife absolutely loved it. You can explore the historic downtown Silver City or the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete list of the many things to do, great places to stay, visit southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome to the show now Mark Brnovich. He is the state attorney general and a Republican seeking re-election. His opponent is Democrat January Contreras. Attorney General Brnovich, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on, Dan.
Yeah. Hey, you've been in office roughly 4 years now. What are some of the wins?
Well, just by way of background, I think some of the listeners may know, but, you know, when I ran 4 years ago, I'd never run for office. I had been a gang prosecutor. I served our country in the military. I was an assistant United States attorney prosecuting public integrity crimes. But I did not like what was going on in the AG's office. And I always said that we need to make sure we have an attorney general that understands his or her role is to be the lawyer for the people, to be the lawyer for those that are vulnerable, that are voiceless. And so what we've done the last 4 years is just really epitomize that. We've returned a record amount of restitution to Arizonans, more than $40 million in individual restitution. Just to put that in context, Dan, the previous AG had returned about 2.4, and before that, Terry Goddard had done about 1.7. So we wanted to make sure it was a priority going after the crooks, the con artists, the scammers, and making sure people got restitution. We've also worked very closely with law enforcement to make sure that we've prosecuted criminal cases. In fact, for the first time ever in our state's history, we have successfully prosecuted terrorism-related cases, including a gentleman out of there in Tucson in state court. We've also just recently indicted someone out of Tucson for crimes involving, sexual-related crimes. We've gone after human traffickers. Our task force against senior abuse has also successfully prosecuted cases, including out of Tucson. So we've done a lot, and it's one of the reasons why I'm happy to have been endorsed by, the fire state firefighters, by state law enforcement groups, by various chambers of commerce, by the Federation of Independent Businesses. So we've got a very broad coalition that I think appreciates the work we've done.
You and I have talked once before about scams and how in Green Valley, the older people are targeted, whether it's online or by phone or by mail. A lot of these people are really, really tough to track down because a lot of them are offshore. Has there been any progress in dealing with that? And these scams, by the way, we know change every week.
Yeah, you remember, Dan, I always say, ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If someone calls you on the phone, immediately become suspect. Never give money. Never give any of your personal information to someone you don't know. And really importantly, and sometimes it's embarrassing, but it shouldn't be. If you feel like you've been scammed, please contact our office. Since I've taken over as AG, the number of consumer complaints has increased, and I'm happy about that because we want to know about this stuff. stuff so we can try to help people. And so there have been some romance-related scams where because people came forward, we were able to take criminal action against individuals that were, stealing money from people. You may have seen that also our office proactively, we saw an uptick, a spike in money being transferred to Ghana, and we realized that what was happening, there was a scam being run where people, a romance-related scam where someone thought they were sending money to someone, that then that person would come here to the United States to have a romance with them. Unfortunately, it's tough to prosecute those people and get a hold of them, but we were able to stop some of those wire transfers from occurring. Additionally, you may have seen that recently we took action against a company up here, Orangutan Home Services, for violating a do not call list. They were providing services, but they were violating the do not call list. So we took aggressive action against them because nobody wants to be bothered when you're at home having dinner with your family.
Well, in the news this morning, we are reading about you and hashish, and which is a marijuana extract, and you are going to be asking the Arizona Supreme Court to declare hash possession as a crime for medical marijuana patients. Now, what led you to challenge this?
Well, first of all, that's just a little misleading, and I may be breaking some news here, is that as the Attorney General, we have an obligation to enforce the law as it is. I say that all the time, and that's one of the things, actually, not to bring up my opponent, but, she has said that she'll kind of pick and choose which laws, depending on which ones she thinks are good or bad, she'll enforce. I've always said policymakers make the law, or people make the law via the initiative process. AG's office enforces the law. And so one of the problems we've had with some of these voter-enacted amendments or statutes is that it creates some ambiguity and uncertainty. And so originally, our office, because we're tasked, we are required to do these criminal appeals, there was an appeal on an issue of a criminal conviction related to that, to the oils. And so what did, when voters approved the medical marijuana law, what was meant when it came to, the products and, determining weight and potency, all that kind of stuff, there was some vagueness. So we actually, the other side appealed that, and we had originally filed a pleading saying that the case should be dismissed on procedural grounds. But I actually think that's the wrong thing to do. So we're actually going to withdraw that pleading, and we're actually going to urge the court to hear the case, because I want the state Supreme Court to provide some clarity to us. Because I do believe in enforcing the law as it is. So when Arizona voters pass the voter initiative that, wanting or allowing for medical marijuana, I think they want to make sure that there are products out there that people that are sick, they can get their hands on. And so I want the court to ultimately hear this case and to provide some clarity to all of us. Because I think in law enforcement, or just in general, what the law requires is consistency, certainty. People want to know what the rules are, and they want to be able to follow them. And so I think that this opinion actually created some uncertainty. And until the Supreme Court hears the case and, makes those ultimate determinations as to how the language should be read, we think that no one should be prosecuted for that. And we furthermore think the Supreme Court needs to hear the case.
Okay, so you are going to be withdrawing that request then, you say?
To dismiss the appeal, correct.
Correct.
I want the Supreme Court to provide us some more guidance, because I do think it's unfair to everyone. Whether you believe in medical marijuana, whether you don't like medical marijuana, I think the uncertainty is bad for everyone. It's bad for prosecutors. It's bad for the people that are selling medical marijuana. And so it's important, I think, for the court to speak on this. And so we're going to urge the court actually to hear the case and hear it on the merits.
Okay, you've come under a little bit of scrutiny regarding Proposition 127, and that would require a big increase in the use of renewable energy in Arizona. In fact, it would require 50% renewable by 2030. You amended the ballot description of Prop 127 to include that this must be met, quote, irrespective of cost to consumers. Some people felt like you stepped over the line and maybe were introducing something into that prop language that really wasn't in the prop at all. go ahead and clear the air.
Seriously, thank you, Dan, because I'm sure many of the listeners know that out-of-state California billionaire Tom Steyer is literally spending millions of dollars, more money than any individual's ever spent on an attorney general's year in race, trying to sully and damage my reputation. And, you know, if you look at what we've done, our office has done, and whether it was suing companies like Theranos, whether it was filing a lawsuit against Purdue Pharmaceutical down there in Tucson, you know, going after, you know, car dealers for false or misleading advertising, getting the largest judgment ever, you know, in state court against Volkswagen, we have taken on, big interests, big corporations. There's no sacred cows. And one of the jobs and duties of the Attorney General, and this is what Tom Steyer's not telling you, is that we are required by law to review every single ballot proposition and approve them. And the language that's on the ballot, the description, is, you know, we review that, approve it, and we provide information that's accurate and fair. And so I am always going to err on the side of making sure that ballot language is something that consumers can understand and is something that's accurate. And so no one's saying that it's inaccurate, and no one's saying that it doesn't help consumers, because it does. And the reality is for, if you look at the ballot propositions that are on the ballot right now, six of those seven ballot propositions, we worked with the proponents of the ballot initiatives, we worked with the folks and changed some of the language. And so when we did these changes, we actually contacted, you know, Tom Steyer and his folks, the Prop 127 folks, and said, we think this is important for consumers to know. Here's what we think. And we sent it to them. They could have asked, you know, they could have proposed different language. They could have sued us to stop it. You know, we know this time there's been some lawsuits sometimes to stop ballot initiatives, but they did nothing. Instead, Dan, what they wanted to do is score cheap political points, because for whatever reason, I have, Tom Steyer doesn't like me. He's attacked me personally. He's making slanderous and defamatory statements about me that are inaccurate and untrue, and it's not fair. And I worry, as an Arizonan, someone that grew up here, that what we are seeing now with what Steyer's trying to do with me and his attacks on me is the same crap that's going on in Washington, D.C., or a lot of these other races now, where all you do is you throw a bunch of mud, you make some unfounded accusations, and then you hope everyone hates that person.
But even back in Arizona, Elections Director Eric Spencer was surprised by your additions to the description of that ballot initiative. Did that surprise you?
Well, once again, we didn't have to, but we turned over every single document related to this ballot proposition. And once again, what Tom Steyer is not telling you is the Secretary of State's office actually sent over language before that, wanting to show that it was going to increase like something like 390%, or start talking about actual increases. And our lawyers, the people that actually worked on this, that were working with the party, said, nah, that's too specific. We don't know how much it's going to increase. It may not increase that much. And that's why that language, irrespective as to cost, is accurate, because we don't know. Costs may go up, they may go down. But the whole point is that the Corporation Commission will now be charged with energy mandates that are no longer tethered in parts of Article 15 of the Constitution, but instead will be tethered into these new provisions, which means that they'll be mandated irrespective as to cost. And I guess the only thing I would add about the Secretary of State's office is that email was sent over the day after Michelle Reagan lost an election, and I think that most people here in Arizona know that she lost a primary election because they were not a bastion of competence. There was a lot of problems, and so I guess I would just be very suspect of anything coming out of the Secretary of State's office. And the fact that they were all over the board on this, I think, was just the Secretary of State's way of basically giving the finger to me, and thinking it was funny on their way out the door.
Okay, Attorney General Mark Brnovich, we really appreciate your time today.
All right, thanks a lot, Dan.
Okay, our thanks to him, and our thanks to Mona's Danish Bakery, which is a home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's is on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise, and a big supporter of Bill's show and that segment. When we return, we're going to be joined by Toni Helen. She is the clerk of Superior Court in Pima County. We'll be right back.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Green Things and Socalo Fine Mexican Imports, both at the 13-acre Green Things site on River Road, just west of Brandy Fenton Park, with all the great Socalo merchandise from Mexico and Latin America and lots of Green Things. There's a link to Socalo and Green Things websites at buckmastershow.com. Now we welcome Toni Helen. She is the clerk of Superior Court in Pima County. Welcome, Toni.
Hi, thank you, Dan, and get well, Bill.
Yes, definitely get well, Bill. Okay, now, Toni, I'm going to throw this massive curveball at you immediately out of the gate. It's going to freak you out a little bit. You and I both earned journalism degrees from the University of Arizona in the same year, but you don't remember me, I bet. Yeah, reach back. But so I was reading your bio and I thought, good grief, we didn't know each other. I was very not memorable, so you're excused from that. But you've been much busier than I have since then. You're a Republican who was appointed to the job in 2013 by Governor Jan Brewer, and then you ran and won the next year. And you're facing a Democratic opponent this year in Gary Harrison. First of all, tell us, clerk of Superior Court in Pima County, what's the job?
Well, good grief. Okay, everything that happens in the Superior Court starts in our office.
Okay.
And then once it's gone through, everything that it needs to go through up in the court comes back down. We have to keep track of it. You have to be able to come walk in there and look up any document at any time in our legal records department. So we keep track of everything. We have 18 or 19 specialized units, and those people in each of those units are experts in that area, whether it's warrants or appeals or criminal or grand jury or child support, et cetera, et cetera. They really know what they're doing, and so we just keep it moving. It's too important. You know, every piece of paper we touch affects somebody's life or somebody's family, and we have to pay attention to that.
Oh, absolutely. How big is the budget, and what's the staffing?
We have just under 200 staff at this moment. It comes and goes up and down a little bit. And the budget is $10,975,000 this year.
Wow. And is that up or down, or what's going on? Are they giving you what you feel you need to do the job?
We do the job with whatever they give us. And when I need something else, I will go ask. And if I can define it and show that we really need it, and I think they do trust. I don't think even the Board of Supervisors necessarily trust all elected officials in general. Everybody thinks there's something kind of crooked about all of us, but I'm really proud to say they do trust what I tell them. They've gone through and audited everything, and we don't misspend. We keep to what our budget is, a little bit under that, but you see, 94% of our budget is salaries and benefits, so we don't have much to work with. So we do a lot of good work for not too much money.
Gary Harrison, your opponent, he was a division director in the clerk's office for about 30 years. He retired earlier this year. He believes that in his three decades, he saw some mismanagement of the budget. Now, you've only been in that lead role for about 5 years. Did you have a lot to clean up when you arrived?
No, I wouldn't say clean up, but what we needed to do, there are special funds that are set up by the legislature for various departments. For instance, we have an automation fund, so we can, and part of different fees go into that fund so that we can keep up with the technology, which, good God, I don't know how anybody can. Things are moving so quickly. So when there were big budget cuts previous to my being there, they would move some of the staff into those areas. But we've been pulling them out. We're on top of that.
And have you had to cut staff then, or how have things been? Okay.
Well, we haven't. What can I say? Laid anyone off or anything like that? We had each unit cut one staff member about 3 years ago,
okay.
And that really helped get us on our way. And we've been cross training. He talks about that. We've been cross training for at least 10 years, every single unit cross trains. And so, you know, so people learn to do more than just one job in their area. And people are keeping up with it. It's pretty amazing.
Are things where you want them to be?
No, they never will be. I mean, for heaven's sake, there's always something more to do because technology changes, needs change. And of course, the legislature, changes things every year. They make changes. So we have to adapt to all of that. It's like everything else in business and anywhere else, education. It's constantly moving forward. But we're doing good at that, and we are preparing for what's yet to come.
You mentioned the legislature, and you spent some time there.
I did. Guilty.
So sum up the state of the legislature for us as somebody who now is looking back a few years at it. Are you happy with the way things are going, or do you think we could have some improvements there? You're kind of the resident expert.
I don't know about that. I can tell you I'm really, really glad I'm not there anymore for a whole bunch of reasons. We can talk about that some other time, of course. But I'm always surprised. Here's my problem. It's like CEOs up in a tower somewhere that are not at the window dealing with the public every single day. So something will come across that one of their constituents will say, oh, I think I had problems in this and so area. I think we should change this. Do the legislators call those of us who deal with those folks every day? I don't get those calls.
Mm-hmm.
To find out, you know, if that's necessary, what it actually does, would do to business or to government or anything else. And so we're always dealing with that. And I think that that's, you know, anybody who, if they have a child or they went to school, thinks they're an expert in education, for instance. That's just a for instance. So,
right.
As people who don't know what we do, as you know, practically nobody does.
Right.
What we do and what we need to get that job done, yet they're making, they're changing laws all the time to change the way we do things without ever knowing exactly what we do.
There's
That's
a lot
frustrating.
Right, and there's a lot to stay on top of. And, you know, you say people generally don't know what you do. I think they also wonder why clerk of Superior Court in Pima County is an elected position. What's your best guess other than that's what the law says?
You know, it's a constitutional officer.
Correct.
It goes way, way back. And we do, we also collect the money for the courts from court orders and things like that. So we collect close to $20 million a year for the courts. Tell me the question again.
Okay, why is it an elected position? You know.
Oh, well, I don't know. It was constitutional. I don't know if it's a checks and balance system with mm-hmm. with the courts. May have something to do with that. Why is my election year this year? Because I'm not a county employee. We are officially, if you work in the court system somewhere, you are a state employee. And this year are the state elections.
Okay, very
so,
good.
And because it's not the Pima County Superior Court, Arizona Superior Court in Pima County, Maricopa.
Very good.
Et cetera.
Our thanks to my former classmate, Tony Helen. Thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I'll look more into that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. You're going to have Bill back in this seat on Wednesday, most likely, and I'm sure you are looking forward to that. On behalf of the team here at the Buckmaster Show, especially the man behind the glass, Ray Allen, you make it a great Monday.